Hare Krishna everyone. So we want to first of all thank Navya Mataji and Praveen Prabhu and Chinmayi and Taruni for opening their homes, for having this program and satsang to bring auspiciousness to them and to all of us. So we can briefly summarize what we discussed last class. Okay, now we have to see who is louder, the match or Bhagavad Gita. We don't have microphone, unfortunately. Okay. So, which verses we covered last class? Couple of verses, right?
22 to 20.
Just briefly we'll summarize so we can move on to the scripture. So, Krishna is talking about characteristics of the person, self-realized, right? Yeah, please, can you share something from verse number 22?
Mataji, can
close the windows, I think. Yeah,
material sense pleasure has a beginning and an end.
Yeah.
It's the source of all miseries. Mm. So if you come into contact with that, then you are going to have something that is not perennial. So that therefore, intelligent people do not
take part in such happiness.
Because lower pleasure and addictive.
Yes.
That's those are
two other things. So from the purport we discussed several points of characteristics of material sense pleasures. Right? At least what was the conviction we want to have at the end of it?
Material sense pleasure is misery.
Okay, so that's the conviction Krishna the formula Krishna is giving us. Material sense pleasure is equal to misery. So if the take home for us is to just take it and hopefully have some realization about it. So we discuss some practical incidents where we all have noticed that, and so that we can take this message into the heart. Text number 23. So how long should we tolerate this material sense pressures?
Till
the point of death. And so until we have material body, any time it can come up again, so we should always tolerate. Then some other points in verse number 23.
We have to be firm in the conviction that nothing in this world is going to give us happiness, permanent happiness.
So if we have these two points, then I think it's possible. That's what it is said, that it's possible to tolerate material sense pleasures, which are two points. Which are, one is what Shapami Prabhu has said.
Higher taste.
That conviction that nothing in this world can give me happiness, and then higher taste. If you have two of them, it's possible to withdraw ourselves from material sense pleasures, which are entangling. Okay, so text number 20, then 24.
Person, he gets enjoyment within himself. He is not dependent
on external things. So we need so many things like sofa, fridge and TV and so many things to games to get happiness, right? External things. Now if that is not there, then our happiness is destroyed. We want to go to tours and so many things, but whereas liberated person, he is always enjoying happiness within, self-satisfied. So it's in Brahma Bhuta stage. So Prabhupada is saying, and we discuss the verse in 18th chapter, 54th verse. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na sochati na kangshati. He doesn't have any hankering or any lamentation. So he's just satisfied in his service to Krishna.
But Mataji, does it mean that if people are buying something, it's bad? Like you mentioned sofa, fridge, for example. Fridge is a kind of a necessity now. Like sofa also we have it, for example. We feel it is necessary to sit, like, and this is like a gang of things. they can be comfort and luxury difference.
Yeah, that's why everybody has a different bath. No, if you really talk from Bhagavatam, it is said very clearly, there are some sections of verses in second canto, I think. It is said that, you know, why do we need a soft bed when, you know, I can sleep on the grass? Why do we need a pillow when I can put my hand as a, you know, pillow? So these are really people who, so essentially this, one can live by without all this actually. Can we or not? All we need is breathing and eating, right? Mainly. Mm-hmm. If you talk in like really, you know, Shastric terms. And then coming about, you know, okay, what is the modern state of life, you know, or what is everybody having, you know, what do we need, then we may need. And of course, now the thing is, we are given some bargain. We are given some, say, license by introducing the concept of Yukta Vairagya. By saying, okay, as long as you use it in Krishna service and the purpose is for Krishna service, use it. Because, you know, we cannot really imitate or, you know, follow that state of life, or rather that way of life right now. So they are saying, okay, whatever you have, the purpose should be to use it in Krishna service and use it in that way, then you are okay. Like people can have big, big bungalows, if at all, you know, it's used for inviting sannyasis over or having programs over, there's no problem with that. Because it's being used in Krishna service, it's purified. Now, but the thing is, see, still I'm not contradicting myself. So the thing is, we may, if at all Krishna gives all this, we are willing to use it in His service. But if it happens that it's withdrawn from us, something happens that it's taken away, at the same time we are not looking for all of them, thinking, you know, I'm lost. Got it? So that's where is the difference. So that means we are satisfied in Krishna's service. So if things are there, we'll use it in Krishna service. Things are not there, we'll use something else in Krishna service. You know, ourselves in Krishna service.
So we should not attach to them, nor we should be hankering for them.
Yes, exactly. So, same. Otherwise, we'll again get into this hankering and lamentation thing. And in the sake of devotional service, we're getting into the same material realm, the whole thing. Now, same, one of, Srila Prabhupada was telling that, initially he was telling, when first year when he struggled, he said that, you know, I didn't have anything. He struggled for everything, right? Later on he said, you know, Krishna gave me so many bungalows. It's all Krishna's temples. Now wherever I visit, I just, you know, sleep in a big, big bungalow. Krishna gave me so many things. But at the same time, when it's time for him to retire, he's willing to give up all this opulence, everything, and just go into simple land of Vrindavan and focus on Krishna. So he's ready to do whatever is needed for Krishna service. Detachment. So the mood is using, I want to use everything Krishna service. If that is there, we are protected. Otherwise, we may think, you know, I need this, I need this, and we are just entangling ourselves with stuff, things. Yeah. Okay, so 25th verse we have to do now, right? Okay, so 24th and 25th verse is talking about, you know, how to attain the Supreme. Since these verses are talking about the characteristics of persons who attain the Supreme, right? So one who has happiness is within, who is active, rejoices within, his aim is inward. And 25th verse, which we are going to talk today, discuss today, you can read the Sanskrit and then I'll say something about the two verses.
लभन्ते ब्रह्मनिर्वाणं ऋषया क्षीणकल्मषा छिन्नाद्वैधायत्तात्माना सर्वभूता हितेरता.
Those who are beyond the dualities that arise from doubts, whose minds are engaged within, who are always busy working for the welfare of all living entities, and who are free from all sins, achieve liberation in the Supreme. So again, it's the same, no, qualities of again a self-realized person, how he will attain the Supreme. When will he attain the Supreme? When he has all these qualities, you know, he is beyond the dualities which arise due to doubts, and his mind is engaged within, again same thing, he is focused inward. And but the thing, another important point is busily working for the welfare of all living beings. And such a person is free from all sins, achieves liberation in the Supreme. So actually from these two verses, something to, you know, for us to think about is that these qualities are very, very difficult to achieve. very very highly, that's what it's said in the comment, no, that Burijan Prabhu's book. These are very very tough qualities. I don't think we can even imagine to have, that's what Swami Prabhu was telling last class, imagine to have it in one lifetime or this lifetime, you know. That's why in verse number 26, Krishna gives, you know, concession. There is some factor. Maybe should we, is it okay? Should we close the window? Oh, this is also, this is also open?
Yeah.
If you close it, it the volume will reduce. No. Okay. So these qualities are very tough to achieve. So in verse number 26, Krishna talks about text verse which we will cover. Talks about a factor which may help, you know, in this difficult task. What is that factor? We'll come to that. So now 25, still these qualities very very important. So we'll try to, you know, focus on certain qualities and try to see some, you know, take home points which will help us. Main important thing which we'll focus on is busily working for welfare of all living beings. That's what Srila Prabhupada focuses in his purport. So let's read the first paragraph.
Only a person who is fully in Krishna consciousness can be said to be engaged in welfare work for all living entities.
Okay, we can pause it. So that I don't miss the points, I'll just, you know, share points as we come. So only a person in Krishna who is fully in Krishna consciousness can be said to be engaged in welfare work for all living entities. So otherwise what will happen? A person who is not fully Krishna conscious, what will happen? He may be helping others, but what will happen?
Drowning by saving the clothes.
Wow, very good. That's the point I wrote down to share.
Oh.
So it will be like they will be doing welfare work in the material platform. Like they may be helping them, giving food, they may be, you know, helping them food, giving them education or shelter and things like that. So it is like a drowning, somebody is drowning and somebody is saving their dress instead of the body, instead of them. Right? Somebody is drowning and saying, you know, save me, and you just pull the shirt out, saying, you know, he saved. So we are just protecting the body, right? But we are not really giving the food for the soul. So that's why. So only when one is fully in Krishna consciousness or fully self-realized, then only they know how to give that Krishna consciousness to others. Right? Otherwise, once we don't have experience, how can we give others? Right? We can, that's why it is said, it's a very nice, you know, principle to follow in preaching, is that we can only share things, only what we realize. Even though we may say things, because, you know, we heard from Shastras, we may share things. But the amount of impact it has on the people's hearts or inspiration they can get is only up to the extent we have the realization, only that much. It cannot be beyond that. So that's why the preachers, it's a responsibility to practice very purely and very diligently, you know, their own practices, so that, you know, they can help, really help others. Otherwise it may just be, you know, people can keep coming for years hearing, but there is no change of transformation of heart. Right? That's why Prabhupada said so many times about so many commentaries, right? People say, you know, so many Bhagavad Gita commentaries are there. But how many of these commentaries have made devotees? That's the result we are looking for. By reading these commentaries, really did people change their life to become devotees? If not, then really that's not the, you know, real thing. So because Prabhupada is himself pure and he is given the pure knowledge in his books, even now after he is gone and even till so many years later on, these books are going to transform people's hearts. Okay, so the next point, when a person
is actually acknowledged that Krishna is the fountainhead of everything, then when he acts in the spirit of
In that spirit,
he acts for everyone.
So we can pause there. How is it so? So when somebody understands that Krishna is the fountainhead of everything, and when he acts in that spirit, that means he acts in that relationship, he acts for everyone. What does that mean? That means while serving Krishna, he's actually serving everyone. How some examples we discussed earlier? Like watering the root of the tree. Then?
Then all branches will nourish the.
Yeah. So that water is sent to all branches, leaves, everything, and everything is nourished. So we don't go water each of the leaves and fruits and everything. And another example is?
Food.
Stomach.
Stomach.
So when we give the food to the stomach, then all the body is nourished. So hand doesn't eat on its own, right? Like that. So similarly, a person is fully Krishna conscious and he acts in that relationship. He need not go and serve each and every one. Like, you know, demigods like Ganesha or, you know, Durga, so many people, or even individually people. He just devotes himself to serve Krishna, automatically all that is achieved. Like that. Now this, I wanted to bring some practical points about this point, is that, you know, especially initially, when we come to Krishna consciousness, maybe we have some sincerity and we heard about the importance. We take it seriously. And sometimes to the extent that we may compromise or, you know, give up on certain duties materially at home. Let's say, you know, wife is chanting more rather than, you know, cooking. Something like that. Because we know the urgency, we want to take it up seriously. And our relatives will say, you know, oh, why this person is always chanting, you know, he is now no longer attending parties with us or, you know, doing something. So then the, you know, the take home for us, or rather the one which should inspire us, is that, okay, I am working on my relationship with Krishna, so that eventually will satisfy all my relatives and all my family members. Right? So I don't have to try to please all of them and forget my main thing, which is pleasing Krishna. Then we'll not end up doing anything. It's like having a lot of zeros without the one. So value is zero. That one is Krishna. So even if initially it may feel actually very, very selfish. At least, you know, that's the spirit, maybe I took it initially, that, you know, I was so rigid about chanting my rounds. So, you know, probably to the extent that maybe, you know, if somebody comes to ask me to do something also, I was not willing to, compromise my this. Maybe I was rigid, that was not correct. Later on I realized, Krishna likes chanting, but also he likes us to be flexible. So later on I improve, you know, hopefully developing that quality as well. No, but at least that initial seriousness about chanting help purify the heart, you know, make me fixed so that I can take up, you know, rest of the purification as it comes. But if initially itself I was wavering, then, you know, it may take years and there is no progress. I'm still, you know, struggling to chant, still wavering, still dealing with desires and all those things, right? So it may seem selfish actually, you know, we may also think, you know, it is truly selfish activity, because it's truly applying to the self. Not selfish may seem like as if, you know, we are being hard on others, but real selfish is really serving the self, which is by serving Krishna. But of course, gradually we'll become mature that, you know, we'll know how to balance our sadhana, everything, by taking care of our family responsibilities, everything also, because those are also, we see that in connection to Krishna. That we don't see, initially we see it separate. That's why we say, you know, oh, instead of cooking three times a day, maybe I'll cook one time and, you know, I would rather chant. Okay.
The suffering of humanity are due to forgetfulness of Krishna as supreme enjoyer, the supreme provider and the supreme friend. Therefore, to revive this consciousness within the entire human society is the highest welfare work.
Yeah, we can pause there. It's a very, very, you know, fundamental thing which, you know, we should all understand. Hopefully, you know, we have the conviction what Srila Prabhupada is saying. The sufferings of humanity are due to forgetfulness of Krishna. If you just understand this, no, then whenever we see somebody in problem or some issue happening, some war happening somewhere, we can all understand, you know, why it's happening. It's all because everybody is really, the root cause of their suffering is due to the forgetfulness of Krishna. Because of forgetting Krishna, they want to be Krishna and they want to enjoy. And that's why it's all these complexities, you know, fights, all this, it's all because, you know, I want to be the center. So that's why, in order to solve that root cause, root problem, a person, you know, we have to revive this consciousness within the entire human society. Then once we do that, that becomes highest welfare work. Then it becomes like Vaikuntha. No, it doesn't become like, you know, people are fighting each other for a small land or some, you know, small cake or something like that. But rather, everybody is working together to serve Krishna. Right? It becomes like Vaikuntha. Then there is no Kunta. There is no anxiety. Vigata Kunta, Vaikuntha, I said, Prabhupada says. No, there is no, Vigata means no, without anxiety, which is Vaikuntha. No, can we, do we have this, no, we heard, did we heard this earlier many times? That, you know, problem, root cause is the forgetfulness of Krishna. We heard it, right? We heard it, right? So that's why, you know, so if at all we want to benefit anybody in this world, or anybody, any of our relatives, any of the family members, what we can, what can we do? So we have to sincerely practice ourselves so that we can be potent to become an instrument in helping others, in giving Krishna consciousness to others. So that's why in initial stages, we have initial stages, the best thing we can do is to be strict about our practices. Strict about, you know, all the regulative principles, everything. If we do that much, we are already doing welfare work for others, because we are acting in our relationship with Krishna. We may not even think about, you know, I'm not making, you know, people come to Krishna consciousness, I'm not teaching Bhagavad Gita class, I'm not, we may think, you know, these things as things which are really welfare work. But initial stages, if we can be rigid and diligent about our practices in Krishna consciousness, that's where we are already doing welfare work to others. Because we heard, right, because we are acting in our relationship with Krishna.
This all seems fine, Mataji, but you know, we are all sitting here because, you know, our tummies are full, we've had a good lunch, we have, you know, we have, but there are people who are, you know, we have nothing. If you try to teach them Krishna consciousness, their first need is food. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'm seeing, like, I understand this point, but I'm saying that there are still, even the clothes need to be dried, that's what I'm saying. Even though if you pull the person along with them, the clothes still need to be dried.
Mm. So, okay, one thing is, sorry.
Yes,
sorry. Yes, bro. Yeah, please add. You want,
like, Prabhupada, that is the reason Prabhupada says that, of course, he started the food for life. Around the 10 kilometers in the temple, nobody should feel hungry.
Right.
And that is the reason when ISKCON, most of the times whoever comes to temple, they feel fully, not that people. So that means they are also giving.
Yeah.
We have so many activities where giving the, as part of Varnashrama Dharma. But after giving, don't forget to teach them in the Krishna consciousness.
Mm.
That is important.
Yeah.
So we should give, but give both.
Both.
As a material body and spiritual body.
Mm. That's the same point I was trying to make. Yeah. So, because I came to the temple starting with Prasadamdi, and I still like the Prasadamdi, I still come there for that. So, I feel very good hearing Prasadamdi, very nicely enjoying. So, I think the clothes still drying also, that's what I'm trying to say.
So, hopefully I will reconcile both the points and say that, you know, I'm not contradicting, because what I'm saying is, what we are saying, what Prabhupada is saying is, the highest welfare work, we are not talking about welfare work, there are so many types of welfare work we can do. Everything is welfare work, and to the extent we can do that, we will become more and more selfless. You know, it's 12th chapter Krishna himself says, you know, if you cannot do pure devotional service to me, then you just practice sadhana bhakti. If you cannot do that, then at least give some, you know, give some of your results to for my cause. If he says, you know, if you cannot do that, then at least give it for some other cause. So by doing it for some other cause, gradually you will get purified and become selfless. So there is a role, even in Krishna also has describes in Bhagavad Gita, that there is a role for even general charity also. No, it's not like, you know, they are not connected to Krishna, because eventually they will lead them to the highest goal of Krishna consciousness. But the thing is, what we are talking about, the highest welfare work. So which is the highest welfare work? The highest welfare work is to save the drowning man. Okay, so hopefully it's not
contradictory. Yeah, we have example in right front of us. One of the, I think, German guy is Mukesh, is not, what is the name? He's now presently he's staying in temple only. Actually, he was homeless. Homeless Prabhu, while during Kirtan's time, he came to Kirtan's and he ate prasadam. And after that, he's inclined to interest him, so he take him into the temple. Now he's staying in temple, and of course, he is completing his nourishment in food wise, as well as he is chanting also.
Okay.
So that is
ఈవెన్ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు సెడ్ భారత భూమి హూ నోస్ దిస్ పర్సన్ భారత భూమి జన్మ సో హూ ఎవర్ ఇస్ బోర్న్ ఇన్ ఇండియా ఎస్పెషలీ పర్సన్ బోర్న్ ఇన్ ఇండియా హావ్ రెస్పాన్స్ ప్రభు యూ నో సార్ భారత భూమి జన్మ జన్మ సార్థక్ కరో కరో పరోపకార్ ఐ మీ మిస్సింగ్ ఫ్యూ వర్డ్స్ దారికవు కృష్ణ ఉపదేశ్ యా సో ఈ సైడ్ యు నో హువర్ ఎస్పెషలీ యువర్ బోర్న్ ఇన్ ఇండియా దే హ్యావ్ ద రెస్పాన్సిబిలిటీ ఫస్ట్ టు యు నో లిబరేట్ దెమ్సెల్వ్స్ అండ్ దెన్ వెర్ ఎవర్ దే గో టు ప్రీచ్ కృష్ణ ప్రీచ్ అబౌట్ కృష్ణ సో దీస్ టూ ఆర్ దేర్ యు నో ఇట్స్ నాట్ ఆల్వేస్ అబౌట్ గోయింగ్ అండ్ టాకింగ్ టు పీపుల్ డూయింగ్ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూషన్ ఆర్ యు నో బ్రింగింగ్ పీపుల్ It's also our homework of purifying ourselves because when we are pure, then only we can be effective. Because it's not us, right, who are doing things. That's the whole point. We are just being an instrument. So if we want to be an effective instrument, we should be sharp, right? If doctor is using a knife for a surgery, if the knife is blunt, there's not going to be effective operation. So if knife is sharp, then it may work. It will work. So that's why we have to become like sharp. So sharp means we have to become pure. Then Krishna's message can come through that to us. Then it has effect on people's hearts. So at this stage, as practical thing for us to do in order to do this application of this, you know, welfare work for everyone is to be diligent, rigid about our practices, strict about our practices and Krishna consciousness. So we can continue.
One cannot be engaged in such first-class welfare work without being liberated in the Supreme. A Krishna conscious person has no doubt about the supremacy of Krishna. He has no doubt because he is completely freed from all sins. This is the state of divine love.
Hmm.
A person engaged.
Maybe we can pause there. So one Prabhupada is saying one cannot be engaged in highest welfare work, first class, without being liberated in Supreme. So he himself has to be fully transcendental. Then only he can really help others, Krishna consciously. But you know, by mercy, you know, while we are on the journey also, we can help people to the extent we have the realization. It's not that we have to be completely purified in order to start preaching. Right? So, you know, while we are on the journey to the Prabhupada said, even a child can preach about Krishna consciousness. So, there was Malati Mataji's daughter, Saraswati. She was very small when during Prabhupada's time. So, she used to call people and, you know, say, you know, who is Supreme Personality? No, she used to ask, what do you, anybody knows?
No, Prabhupada asks, actually somebody came asking that, Prabhupada, so you don't know who is Supreme Personality? If got it, then he called Saraswati. Then Prabhupada asked to Saraswati, who is Supreme Personality? If got it. He says simply, without any doubt, she is Krishna.
Krishna and ran away playing. So Prabhupada said in our movement, even a child can preach. She is preaching actually. He was discussing with a scholar, arguing about, you know, is Mayavadi or somebody, arguing about who is supreme. So much he had to know, you know, he had to be proven, all those things. And Prabhupada just, you know, just with that small example, he just made him like a, you know, ridiculed kind of, you know, embarrassed him. So even a child can preach. And so if our kids can become Krishna conscious and dance in Kirtan and, you know, become happy, just be happy, then it will be a very much, you know, very, very, exemplary and very much, you know, it can drive people to Krishna. Okay. So he has no doubt about Krishna's supremacy. Why? What is the reason? Because he is completely free from all sins. So that means the contrary is also true. Until we are free from sins, we still keep having doubts about Krishna's supremacy. Got it? It's a very crucial point. So if we still have doubt about our faith in Krishna or, you know, why we are not able to surrender fully, means we are still not freed from our impurities. So we still have sins, we still have impurities which are blocking us from accepting Krishna, full surrender to Krishna and accepting Krishna as a complete Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is quoted in a verse 7.28. I'll just mention the verse. You can see that. I will read the translation quickly. Esham tvantagatam papam. persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. So Krishna is saying only people who have acted piously in previous life and in this life can engage in my service with determination. So if at all we find ourselves lacking in determination, okay, I make one step and after some time, you know, I go five steps back. If we find ourselves like that, so that means, you know, we still have lot of sins to be cleansed. You know, we are not yet, so that's why there is some amount of piety also still required in order to take up Krishna consciousness seriously.
So, but how do you cleanse those sins?
Again, by the practice only. Just by practice, just even.
But you, if you are like moving backward, you know, how do you like?
Just the sincere endeavor in Krishna's mercy. That's all. That's why, you know, it's our endeavor doesn't work. We put our endeavor so that Krishna will shower his mercy. And you know, especially in such cases, in every case actually, if you can serve elevated souls, especially you know, pure devotees, you can serve them. Through them, we'll get unlimited mercy. Actually, they are carriers of mercy. They can just, they are willing to just shower their mercy. They don't even see who is coming, who is going. Just somehow we get the opportunity to serve them, or even if without their notice, background, somehow we can serve them and have the mood of serving them, we'll get benefit. And we'll unknowingly, we'll see, suddenly we'll wake up and we'll figure out, you know, I don't have this problem anymore. It can be so powerful, and I have experienced myself. So that's a secret key actually. Krishna's mercy comes through his devotees. It's the same thing we are saying.
But how have they experienced that? They can give an example. Particular.
So, when I came to Krishna consciousness, obviously I came from very materialistic background, everything, right? So I was pretty much predominantly mode of passion and ignorance. You know, like working every day to go to gym so that I can maintain my body fit, and you know, being proud of being in Microsoft. No, you can imagine, I'm just showing up my picture that time so that you can imagine my consciousness, how contaminated it could have been. I can see none of you are actually so contaminated. So I was coming from such a background. So then somehow I had the sincerity to take it up seriously, and gradually we met our spiritual master, and I had this inspiration that, you know, if I just serve him, you know, everything is, if I just follow his instruction, if I just serve him, my life will be perfect. I had that conviction despite all the dirt in my heart and how much I was struggling to even just focus on my mind, or how much I was struggling to do any service. It's like, no, I can just hopefully I will remember that stage where I was really, you know, really struggling for Krishna's mercy, really struggling to, no, I want to make progress. I had the hankering, I had the desire, you know, I don't want to be in such a state of, because I had the strongest desire to become pure, because it's going to please Krishna. No, I don't want to be in this state. But then we are bound because of the conditioning, because of the, already I was in the mess, right? So it cannot happen. Even if we desire now, see, that's a mistake. No, we made a mistake because of which we bound up and we got so much dirt, everything everywhere. Even if we strongly desire, I don't want this, it's not so easy. It's not instantaneous. Now we have to deal with it. No, that's the baggage we are carrying. So then gradually, you know, so I received so much mercy from our spiritual master, and then somehow out of all those things, I had this inspiration that, you know, I should do something for him, some service, which, and it was such a state that actually his secretaries were there in Seattle, like, you know, his prominent disciples who took care of everything for him, you know, booking tickets, basically, you know, I was contemplating that, you know, I want to do some service for him, but our services are already done by somebody, them especially. So what service can I do for him? Everything, and also I'm a neophyte, I'm struggling to do anything I do, it may not be such qualified as how they would do. And they have the ability to do it, so many more things than. But then I want to do something. Then somehow, my mentor, he gave the idea that, you know, Maharaj wanted to have a website for his lectures for a long time, maybe why don't you, you know, look into it and see if you can do something. Then and I was a software engineer, but I was nothing into, I don't know anything about websites. But then in the, I just stuck to it. It's like, okay, I have to do some, this is my service now. Okay, I have to do something about it. So nobody, no help was there, nothing. And we were just recently married also, so, you know, dealing with that responsibility, everything still, but somehow I just stuck to it, you know. And with maybe seeing that sincerity or something, somehow Krishna gave some direction and I ended up creating something. I didn't even know that it was really anything good actually. Then it so happened that my mentors passed the message to Maharaj that, you know, this website is already created, it's already there. Maharaj saw it, he liked it very much. So much actually. He called them and said, wow, this is a wonderful website, you know, wow, I have a website, and he liked the theme. He's very, very, it's not about just the act of creating a website. He's very, very meticulous, Maharaj. He's very, very professional. Everything he does has to be up to the mark. So having in that situation, somehow ending up creating something which he likes is really mercy. It just happened. It's like that. Maybe, you know, it just happened. Because I don't have any artistic sense also. I may be technically a little bit, you know, I can do something, but I don't know about colors, what combination of colors works well, nothing. So then when Maharaj came next, he was about to visit us in 3 months, in 2-3 months he came. Then I wanted to offer the Vyasa Puja, then I wanted to offer the, I offered this website to him. Then after that, you know, we were serving dinner to Maharaj, I was there with the Mataji there, only the two of us. And Maharaj was eating. Then Mataji said, you know, you go and serve dosa to him, because I am making dosa, I cannot go and serve. We both only are there, so you just serve dosa. So I was serving dosa. I was so happy serving dosa to him, going back and forth. Then he just ate for a couple of times, and after that he said, you know, sit down. By the time, I think it was initiated, yeah. Shamla, sit down, he said. Okay, I sat down. Then he said, okay, so you created this website for me. You know, what was the work involved? He just wanted to reciprocate with my service and just wanted to exchange that. So they said, no, it was actually not so work. It just came up like this, I don't know. Then finally, you know, while he was eating, just took one dosa and, you know, whatever, and just gave it to him. Said, you know, for the service, this is the reward you get. Very bold. So that's all. I ate that, and then not only that, immediately after that incident, actually after that exchange and after that trip, immediately next day I could feel actually now all the things which were disturbing me, they just went away. Actually, you know, I was coming more into goodness now. My mind was so calm. Immediately day after initiation, how I chanted, usually it says after initiation immediately, because Maharaj, Sushil Master takes away the sins, you'll be very free and the chanting will be very potent. The immediately next day, and after that again we do commit offenses, again we'll go back to the, you know, our old routine chanting. But that the however I chanted that day, I could feel it immediately after this trip next day, and then on it stayed with me. No more those things of troubling me and struggling so much. It just, you know, somebody prayed, somebody, some mercy came, and we were just lifted. So we have all this mercy. We just have to desire, then Krishna, when if we hear these instructions, we immediately, it strikes our heart, and we feel, okay, let me now serve. We get the inspiration, and Krishna gives ability to do it, and then when somebody else, another Prabhupada disciple, when he saw and he appreciated, you know, it seems you created the website, it's very wonderful, all this. Then I said, Prabhu, actually, it's actually WordPress template. If anybody knows, it's very simple to create a website. I chose a WordPress template, I just put things, that's all, nothing actually, there's nothing in that. Then I told, there's not, actually I didn't use any of my technical abilities also in doing this. Somehow ended up like this, and he liked the theme also. Then he said, because you have your desire, Krishna arranged all this like that. Because you had the desire to do it, you deserve that mercy. I felt I didn't do much, but he said, because you had that sincere desire, you deserve that mercy, he said. No, so many magical things, mysterious things and wonderful things happen in Krishna consciousness. Because it's always, as I mentioned, it's active. It's active. We are actively serving Krishna, and Krishna is actively looking forward to give that mercy to us. So always when I heard this statement that, you know, when we make one step, Krishna takes 1,000 steps, when I was struggling in that stage, I used to feel, you know, okay, I'm struggling and making so many steps towards Krishna and I'm not getting any help. You know, I feel like, you know, I'm just going round and round, I'm not getting out of this cycle. no, Krishna is not helping me. No, but the thing is, no, we don't have that sincerity, we don't have that determination, we don't have that seriousness which Krishna is looking for. No, because even if Krishna gives the mercy, we may not even look at it as mercy, that we are in that state actually. So we feel like, okay, I'm getting more service, or you know, I'm eating more prasadam, or I'm ending up cooking more, or so. But when we are, that's why one time Radhanath Maharaj in his class, he was telling, whatever knowledge we receive, if we have that thirst that, you know, I need to hear, this is my life and soul, then that knowledge will convert into realization for us. Otherwise, it just goes ear to ear. Similar, like how, similar, how, for example, for a hungry man, whatever food he eats, it nourishes him. But if you are not hungry, it is said that actually even if you eat the food, it doesn't nourish the body. It just goes away like a waste. But if you are really hungry, it nourishes the body. It gives energy to the body. So it's like, that is our hunger. That is our eagerness, you know. Krishna, I want to come to you. Somehow or the other, I am lost, I realize this, I want to come to you and I am stuck here now. Please pick me up. When we have that eagerness, hankering, no, and thirst, then Krishna will provide so many venues and so many ways to give that, show us how he is taking the 1,000 steps. Okay.
Mahati, I could also relate to it,
yeah,
actually, because
please.
Mercy generally is, you're not qualified and you get it.
No.
You don't deserve
no.
it and you get it. So, I was introduced to Krishna consciousness when I was in my first year of engineering, and it was, I used to go to temple once in a while because they used to serve all international cuisines, like what you was mentioning. I never had pasta, so they used to serve pasta. I just had to stand outside the gate, they would pick me up in a car and they would drive me to the place. It was dream come true. I was all sick of mess food and I would get all international cuisines. And for 3 months, I just used to go, and then it was totally cut off. I had absolutely no relationship with devotees, I didn't know anybody. For 3 years, there was absolutely nothing that I did, right? I was back into my old lifestyle. I did nothing, literally. And then in my fourth year, so one good thing that I had was I never used to drink. And I, coming from a Brahmin family, I never ate non-veg. So there was this one friend of mine whom I was very close to who was drinking. So I had to convince him that drinking is not good. Out of my selfish desire, that to prove my point, I took him to temple. Right? Just to prove a point. So there was this lecture series that was organized by an IITian. So I told him that, you know, he's a very qualified person. He's going to talk about why you should not drink. Right? I took him to the temple, and then it was just, you know, we had a very lengthy and heated conversation around all this. And he went back to his campus. I went back. And he got in touch with the devotees there. He became an amazing devotee.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was back to my old stuff. And he started preaching me. You know, so I was totally cut off. No, ISKCON, what is ISKCON? Okay, yeah, this is a good prasadam. Yes, I know. So that was all relationship I had. But he started preaching me. And he was the one who brought me in. So this is, I would say, the prasadam that I had when I was in my first year. That helped me get back to Krishna consciousness. I mean, that I would say is pure mercy. Once you're out of college, there's no way you can get in. Right? I was not going to any temples. I was not doing any devotional activity whatsoever. But it's I would say it's a sheer mercy of Lord and all the devotees. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been possible.
Yeah, one day we should have a session where everybody can share, you know, how we came to Krishna consciousness. It's always very inspiring.
Yes.
Very nice.
Just talking about that causeless mercy part when we are coming in the car today, Mataji. So I came to Krishna consciousness because of Sahaprabhu. But when we are talking about it, you know, he has given so much, and yet we, like at least for me, I keep asking for more. Okay, where is this going to end, right? But the thing is that his mercy is causeless, and it's only out of that at least we are able to hear these good things. Otherwise, every Friday I used to go to movies, Mataji. Almost every Friday, any new movie, some rubbish, I'll keep watching. And at least I'm here. At least I'm hearing good things. Thanks to Sahaprabhu.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, we are all helping each other, and somehow Krishna hopefully sees this endeavor and, you know, pleases us. No, sorry, blesses us with his mercy more and more. Okay. We'll continue the next verse. It's number 26.
Yes, to remember.
paragraph.
That's okay. We are not reading full purports, right?
Yeah. अभीतो ब्रह्मनिर्वाणं वर्तते विदितात्मनाम.
Those who are free from anger and all material desires, who are self-realized, self-disciplined, and constantly endeavoring for perfection, are assured of liberation in the Supreme, in the near, very near future. So again, somebody may ask question, you know, this liberation which we discussed in earlier two verses, very difficult. These qualities are very difficult to achieve. So here Krishna is giving us that, you know, this liberation can be achieved in very near future. So he's telling, he's giving a promise. No, it's not so far away. So, but what is the requirement we have to show? What is from our side, what we have to do?
Impossible.
No, main thing is constantly endeavoring for perfection. If we can just do that, actually that's what would be everybody's story.
Sadhana.
Because we, yeah, sadhana. And we do it by doing, being very diligent about our sadhana, you know, our practices, you know, eating prasadam, following regulative principles, then we are constantly endeavoring for perfection. Then Krishna's mercy will come. The very near future is showing, Krishna is saying, I am going to give my mercy. When I see that sincerity and determination in you, you know, then I shower my mercy. So this is the same thing we discussed, right, in Damodar Leela pastime. Same thing, right, we discussed last year also, and now Kartik is again coming. Right, so Yashoda Mata, no, Krishna became naughty and he, after he broke the butter pot and ran away, then Yashoda Mata wanted to teach a lesson, so she was running behind him with a stick and she, you know, wanted to bind him to the binding motor. So she got all the cloth in the whole Vrindavan to try him, but she couldn't tie. It was 2 inches too short. And what are the 2 inches?
Endeavor and Krishna's mercy.
So 1 inch is our endeavor, the 2nd inch is Krishna's mercy. So that's what this comes together, you know. When we constantly endeavor, that's no, that is still not enough, because we are just struggling, you know. Unless some mercy, as I mentioned, the mercy just falls on us, then Krishna, when Krishna's mercy comes, then we'll just get elevated. So, but then how Krishna's mercy, how can we attract Krishna's mercy in the form of devotees? By our sincere endeavors. So anybody, if you see, even if you want to please any Maharaj or anybody, they will just be pleased if we, they see our sincerity. They are not pleased if we give lot of money to them, or, you know, feed them big sumptuous prasadam. That's not, from the heart they will not be pleased with all these things. But if they see somebody who sincerely, you know, really sincerely working, then even if they don't need to say anything, if their hearts are pleased, we get the mercy. Actually, we get the blessings. Even recently, actually, you know, if I have to share something, you know, personal, like recently, after 2 years since our kids are born, I was not so much, you know, in personal touch with our Guru Maharaj. We didn't, because we used to meet him, physically meet him once, like twice a year easily, because we both were earning and we had the resources to travel and, you know, visit wherever he was. Either in India or in Poland or in US. But since 2 years, because, you know, because kids are so small and so, you know, challenging for us to go, we haven't met Maharaj. So Maharaj was inquiring about us and he was saying, you know, no, I haven't heard from them, you know, maybe Shamala should write a letter to me, you know, every now and then. So then I sat together. It was so, I took like 2 weeks to write one letter, you know, because I took half an hour to 15 minutes every day to sum up all the things which happened in the 2 years. So while writing that letter, definitely, you know, I was able to reflect, you know, on his mercy more and more. So that's wonderful. But what I felt immediately after I sent the letter was, of course, he didn't respond. He didn't, of course, means like obviously he's busy. Unless it's really needed that I need some instructions or something, it's not needed that they have to reply. It's not like, you know, our office emails and all. So I didn't get any reply, but what I felt was suddenly this feeling of intense feeling, some kind of increase in the intensity of a feeling of sharing Krishna consciousness with others. Somewhat. Then I was trying to, so many venues I was trying, you know, maybe I should talk to this Mataji, I should talk some new people, some way. At least I felt I just want to maybe, you know, share it with more people. I just felt that intensity increasing. And I felt, okay, then definitely it must be that, you know, he's pleased with our endeavor. So, he just because they are pleased, they need not say anything, they need not, you know, explicitly tell anything. Somehow we make progress. That's the verse, you know, in Mangalarti, right? Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado. By pleasing spiritual master, Krishna is pleased. But when we displease spiritual master, there is no nagati kutopi, there is no hope. Okay.
Mataji, I have a question. Here we are saying constantly endeavoring for perfection, but there are so many ands out there, like free from anger, all material desire. It's not just endeavoring for living, there are so many ands before that. It's tough to visualize. We can free from us, lifetime, free from anger. I don't know, it's like a matter of 1 second you will get anger.
But the thing is, out of all of this, if you do this constant endeavoring for perfection, you will get all the other things also. Right? If you do this constantly endeavoring for perfection, eventually you will get free from anger. Right? That is the, what I am saying is, that is the sum and substance. Right?
You are endeavoring to control your anger.
Yeah.
But if you also want to maintain the anger, I have read Prabhupada's biography of him. Yeah, he was getting angry when somebody didn't do the right service which was expected. So when the anger is actually towards Krishna's service, then probably it's not the same anger what I'm not getting a dress which I wanted, and that's
correct. So we discussed this several times. Last class also we discussed it. Right?
But my point is, the comparing at Prabhupada level and our level, we will do lot of calculation that so that I will make that thing in favor of me, even though I got anger. I will say I use in Krishna consciousness, but I know it's not in that service. It's just like I'm using that word for me. So how we will come out from these things?
So this is called fruitive mentality, and actually, you know, we're going to cover it in
the bottom of the heart. We know.
Yes.
We are saying
exactly.
For our tongue.
Exactly. That's really ties into the purport. When we read the purport, Prabhupada is going to talk about that point. This is the mentality called fruitive mentality. You know, just something, gaining something, even through devotional service, gaining something. That mentality is so, you know, so much ingrained in us. It's very difficult. So Prabhupada is going to tell how to get out of that. So we'll read the third paragraph. In the conditioned soul.
In the conditioned soul, the desire to enjoy the fruitive results of work is so deep rooted that it is very difficult even for the great sages to control such desires. Despite great endeavors, a devotee of the Lord constantly engaged in devotional service in Krishna consciousness, perfect in self-realization, very quickly attains liberation in the Supreme. Owing to his complete knowledge in self-realization, he always remains in trance.
Yeah. So first point is, you know, the conditioned soul has this tendency to enjoy fruitive results from time immemorial. So he is very, very deep-rooted actually. So if you just try to do some yogic process to try to control such things on your own endeavor, it's not going to work. It because you will just always fall down. But whereas a devotee of the Lord who constantly engage in devotional service to Krishna consciousness, he can easily attain liberation. So the key is that we should be constantly engaged in Krishna consciousness, devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Even if you have the fruity mentality through devotional service, just some or the other 24 hours try to serve Krishna, try to do some service. Then we can see quickly, very quickly, actually see very quickly attains liberation in the Supreme. Very that's also there. Like, you know, Mataji is telling about one quotation in Telugu where it says, you know, while eating the neem tree will sound sweet.
Sweet.
Right? Like that. Same thing, Prabhupada's example, Prabhupada says, like, we are diseased, right? Sugar cane is sounding very bitter for us now. We are having, what is the disease? Malaria?
Jaundice.
So, sugar cane, which is very sweet, is sounding very bitter for us. But as we eat, same sugar cane juice is going to cure the jaundice, then eventually we'll find it sweet. So, these devotional practices are austere for us, you know, just to go wake up in the morning, especially Mangalarti, you're doing so many, so difficult, so tough. We want many people to do different austerities. Like some people are very easy at, you know, doing fasting, things like this. Every day I can fast, no problem. But if you ask them to get up early and chant their rounds, it's not. So, no, that is the real austerity we should do actually, you know. Even if we have strength to do other things, if you can somehow, you know, get up early, chant nicely, you know, that's the real austerity. Prabhupada said if you just attend Mangalarti every day, that's the greatest austerity you can do in Kali Yuga. Like, you know, so it's, everything is given so simple to us, so easy actually, the way we can practice.
So Mangalarti, coming to temple at the home also is like...
Yeah, anywhere, somehow, you know, if we wake up that early and especially take cold shower, bath in winter. There is Shyamala's addition to possible. Yeah.
Although you have done it for years, right?
Some years, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's wonderful. It's very... Yeah, that's why initially, it's, that's why, you know, I can share it. So, initially, you have to beat up your mind. As soon as alarm goes, you feel like you're sleeping 5 more minutes. You have to control all this, get up. But once you have the taste, it becomes, that's what, you know, higher taste. You feel like you don't want to miss Mangalarti at any cost. You get that taste, you get that nectar. It's like, then it becomes like sweet, like sugarcane juice. You don't want to miss it at any cost. People will think, you know, how can this person get up and do it? What happiness is there in that? They cannot get it. Now, unless you get that mercy and get the taste by the Lord's mercy. So.
Please give some tips on how we can slowly start attending Mangalarti in the morning. Some practical tips, maybe. Yeah. Initially, you were saying that it was, you were finding it difficult as well, and slowly.
Yeah, you have to have some tips. First thing is, if you can go to bed early, I guess. That's very important.
Yeah. So I'm trying to see, should we can just complete this verse? Because at least we'll finish this. I wanted to do this verse and then we'll come to that. So owing to his complete knowledge and self-realization, he always remains in trance. Okay. Then continuing, there is a very nice analogy from verse after the verse. Prabhupada is giving very nice analogy. Very, very interesting actually. So we'll just read the English following. By vision,
the meditation and by touch only to the fish, the tortoise and the birds maintain their offspring. Similarly do I also, O Padmaja.
See, so very nice. Let's understand. By vision, by meditation and by touch only. Do the fish, tortoise and birds, so basically fish maintains by vision, tortoise maintains by meditation and birds maintain by touch, their offsprings. So similarly, I also maintain myself, O Padmaja. So what does it mean? We'll Prabhupada says that.
The fish brings up its offspring simply by looking at them. The tortoise brings up its offspring simply by meditation. The eggs of tortoise are laid on land. And the tortoise meditates on the eggs while in the water. Similarly, the devotee in Krishna consciousness, although far away from the Lord's abode, can elevate himself to the abode simply by thinking of him constantly. By engagement in Krishna consciousness, he does not feel the pangs of material miseries. This state of life is called Brahma Nirvana, or the absence of material miseries due to being constantly immersed in the Supreme.
So very nice analogy. The fish brings up its offspring simply by looking at them, and tortoise by meditation, and because it's laid on the land, and similarly, the bird through by touch. So the thing for us is a devotee in Krishna consciousness, although far away from Lord's abode, he can elevate himself by constantly meditating on the Lord, by constantly chanting his names, thinking of him. So the point is, like, for example, we are spirit souls, but we are materially, we are engaged in material body, and all we see around us is material, right? So how can, by dealing with material things, we can achieve a spiritual goal, which is transcendental? Got it?
Total
that stuff. And also the thing is, because the Krishna's holy name is spiritual, there is still something which are very spiritual. Holy name are spiritual, and when you use things in Krishna's service, it becomes spiritual. It acts spiritually. So that's why, by thinking of Krishna constantly, by meditating on him, by serving him constantly, by always being focused on that goal, eventually the person becomes can elevate himself to the Vaikuntha. This stage of life is called Brahma Nirvana. So if you look at in the Sanskrit,
okay,
there is a term called Brahma Nirvanam. Right? So this is called Brahma Nirvana. That means absence of material miseries. Not like merging into Brahman and things like that. So it's because this is like constantly being immersed in the Supreme, one becomes relieved, one becomes relieved from material miseries.
Question, so I thought this verse was spoken by the Lord himself. I don't know where, but
it's Yudhishthira's Chaita analogous example of this. No, similarly to I also, Padmajan, some devotee is speaking. Spoken by a devotee.
Not the Lord.
No. Not the Lord. We can just search on, we can easily find out where it is. If you want, I can give you.
Padmaja is Lord Brahma.
Padmaja
is.
One from whom?
Lotus
is emanating.
Okay.
This is one who is giving birth to the Padma. Right, Prabhu? Okay. Okay. So, I think. Okay. We can stop here. So we have three more verses. So I think we'll finish it in the next class. So I wanted to also discuss about the exam. So we are coming to fifth chapter exam, and many of you didn't try fourth chapter exam. So if you go like this, you'll have three chapters pending like this. So what do we do about it? So okay.
PowerPoint presentation.
Can we remind me after the this thing, Giri Prasadam? I'll talk. So we'll chant. Should I share something about what Prabhu asked? So Prabhu is saying, what are practical things we can do in order to focus ourselves, to get up early and chant and all. So what thing which helped me is that, at least this is the habit I had from childhood. It's like I have a strong will. So if I make up my mind for something, somehow or the other, I will just focus on it. I'll just drop everything else, focus on it, and I'll try to get it. Result oriented, if you can say, or this thing. So that nature helped me. Of course, that could make me completely contaminated if it applied in a material sense and make me completely this thing. But somehow, I was able to apply it in Krishna service. So practically from that, what I could say is just prioritize. Make this as one thing which we want to do every day. So if we, for that, what it means is sleeping early, I'm going to do it. Just meditate on this. I just want this. I just want to get up early, chant my rounds, at least, better. Don't make it, take a big goal. I want to chant 16 rounds before 4:30. I'm not even getting up at 6 o'clock. You can't even imagine that. So take up something better than what we are doing right now, and just work on it. Just achieve it. Then once you're stable in that region, improve more. Then do more chanting before going to work. Now we are doing 2 rounds, do 4 rounds before going to work, do 6 rounds. Then you will be forced to think, how I can change my life. Because for that to happen, you have to change so many things in your life. And you should be determined to do it. You cannot be saying, I cannot say change this now. Of course, we have kids. I don't know how much it's possible for that. But how the sparrow wanted to dry up the ocean by its endeavor, and Krishna, then Garuda came and helped, right? When we are so adamant, we can say, so strong, so determined to do it for Krishna's pleasure, Krishna will somehow arrange it to happen. It can happen. So just make that as your only thing that you are doing, because that's the best thing you can do. Prioritize that, keep a goal which is approachable, and keep working on it until you achieve it, this remains stable, and then keep increasing the bar. And of course, it's easier if we do it in association. So if we come to temple, if somebody is coming to Mangalarti, or some of the parents are doing 7:30 Mangalarti, let's say, you can join them like that. Okay. Hare Krishna.
I have one request for all the devotees. My uncle is actually suffering with cancer, so he was in his last stages. So if you could pray for him for his spiritual well-being, it would be helpful.
Yeah, very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.